Okay, recording.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, moving on with the class. What we'll do today is, first I'll give you a small slideshow. It's not very large, so be warned. The last slideshow I used for my class was huge. This is a little smaller. Let me link it to you. It's a Google document. Oh, wait, let me see if the link works. That one should be better. It's a Google document, so if you have Google Mail or any other Google account, you can access it. If we all try to access it at the same time, you might get a warning that it won't work for you. Then just reload the page and you'll open it just fine. And that second link is to the syllabus. The syllabus is a very aged document on the EUni wiki, but still it will give you a bit of an overview of what we talk about in this class, so you can open it or check back on it later. All right, has everybody opened the slideshow? Is that working for everyone? Please X up if it's not working for you. Cool. The first slide, Kaldari Ships 102. There's a nice little quote that I took from the Kaldari. Yeah, I love the whole Kaldari philosophy. I'm a big fan. I've actually been an EVE player now since January, so I'm not extremely experienced. From the start, I flew the Kaldari ships and I've been loving them all the way. And as we spoke of before a little, I've been in the beginning discouraged a little by many people telling me that Kaldari are no good ships to fly PvP, or that missiles suck, or other sort of stuff. But I found, in talking to more experienced EVE players, and with experience I have myself, that is completely not true. Kaldari ships are very good ships, as long as you know what you want to do with them, and you fly them in a way that's suitable for you, personally. You can fly them in PvE. They're some of the greatest mission ships that there are in the game. They're great for PvP, e-war or logistics, or even just fighting, and missiles can do a lot of damage and can down you a lot of enemy ships. So don't believe the hype and fly Kaldari. Or if you don't, we'll learn as much you can to shoot us down. We'll see you somewhere in space and enjoy ourselves, I'm sure. The second slide has the class contents. I'm sorry, I think I made a little typo in the overhead. So the second slide, you'll see that we'll talk about four different parts. The advanced ship philosophy of Kaldari ships. We'll do an overview of the Kaldari advanced ships. So we'll talk about all the ships in the different classes. And then we'll talk a little about Kaldari Tech 2 ammunition, so the Tech 2 missiles. And at the end, there'll be time for questions. If you have any questions in the meanwhile, please just post them in the class channel or pop them in a mumble when I'm quiet or posting a link or nothing. That's quite fine. Don't hesitate to ask. Or tell, by the way. As I'm a pretty new pilot myself, I find that these classes are just a learning experience as much for me as they are for you, I'm sure. So don't hesitate to ask or tell anything that you know that I don't. We move on to slide number 3, the advanced ship philosophy. Some of you might know something about the Kaldari ships or visited one of the Kaldari 101 classes and have already learned that the Kaldari are about shield tanking. They're about long range attacks using hybrid turrets, hybrid shelling, or missile weapons. The ships, well, I find them beautiful myself. Some people find them fugly or some other nasty term for our ships. But yeah, they're very specific kind of ships. I find them to be very nice. The advanced ships, so the Tech 2 ships, are advanced. Why are they advanced? Usually because they're an extension of a previous ship or a variant thereof. What we'll find a lot in the advanced ships is we'll find ships that are just better at the same role, at the same part they play, or are something really mixed up and different. Yes, somebody's keying up. You have a question? Go. No? Okay, now we'll just continue. No problem. So what do I mean by extensions of Orions? For instance, Perhaps most people here know the Kaldari cruiser, named fittingly the Caracal. Let me link it up for you in class, just a sec. So you click the link and then you can click the picture to view it. It's an odd looking ship. The Caracal is one of our standard cruisers. It is a missile boat allowing you to fit the rapid light missiles to fight frigates, the heavy assault missiles, short range, more DPS, or just the heavy missiles, longer range and a little less DPS. If you've been into some of the Shadoo fleets, a guest FC that we've had recently, there have been a lot of these Caracals used. Excellent ship. It's also great for doing PvE, level 2 missions in a Caracal, or I myself have done the Sisters of Eve mission arc that's often advised for beginning players to do. It's about 50 missions. I flew them all in a Caracal. I killed, is his name Dogan or Dagon? The guy at the end of the mission arc, the bad guy. I even killed him in a Caracal. I was quite pleased with myself back then. Dagon, yeah, that's the one. Thank you, Victoria Carter. I killed him in a Caracal. It's a wonderful ship. The T2 variant of the Caracal, and actually a beautiful ship as well, could be an extension. So basically, a missile boat like the Caracal, but better at its job. Longer range, more damage, more missile fits, more high slots, for instance, just better at what it does. But some T2 ships, yeah, well, ugly icon, I'm not sure. I think it's beautiful in its own special kind of way. Some T2 ships could be something really different. Let's say that you take the Caracal, then fit it with hybrid guns. Give it a railgun bonus or a blaster bonus. Ship completely different, so that you as a Kaldari pilot change things up and take a different role in a ship that looks just as beautiful as the one you've been flying before. So that's basically what T2 ships are about. They fill more specific roles, as the third point suggests, more focused on specific tasks, which is pretty special. The mainline, the T1 ships, are very versatile. As we talked about before, you can fit them any way that you'd like and use them for any purpose you'd like. And most of the T1 ships are so versatile and so well balanced these days by CCP that you can do a lot of different things with it. And sure, you hear a lot of people min-maxing about you get a nerf on the Drake and the Drake is now terrible, but I'm not sure I agree. I think that most of the T1 ships are very versatile and you can do a lot of things with them. You can see the fourth point, advanced ships. We'll talk about capital ships a bit. We didn't speak about that in the first class. Tell you the truth, I think capital ships are great. They look beautiful. And I think the whole idea of having these huge, huge, huge ships in the game is awesome. It's something that they've added to the EVE game that makes me really excited. Having said that, EVEmon is a program that allows you to do skill plans or skill training plans on your PC, or if you have an iPod or similar device, you can use Neocom, or well, there are probably different programs you can make a skill plan with. Some of them even are available on the web. If you type in the skill plan for a capital ship, you'll be training for 100 plus days, 120, 220 days to fit in a carrier. Or another capital ship. So that, to me, is still very much the future of EVE. I hope to be part of it one day. I've seen carriers in games once or twice, just flew by them real quick and ran. So we'll talk about that a little, but more from an academic perspective because I haven't flown them myself. Perhaps someone here has more experience with them, and later in the class I'll definitely ask you to share. So if you move up to the last slide, slide number 4, there's a little chart. And to be perfectly honest, it's a chart I stole. This is dangerous to say. I stole it from the Goons website. Is anybody here unfamiliar with what Goons are? Anybody, if you don't know what Goons are, X up in class.
Burning Jita.
Jita? You mean the system Jita?
Yeah, didn't they burn it?
Yeah, they did, and a lot of other people with them.
And the Mitanni, I think he's one of the top ranking guy in there, I think.
Yeah, the Mitanni used to be their spy master in the past, and he's a former CSM member. I'm not sure what role he exactly plays, but yeah, the Mitanni is a goon. He has a website, themitanni.com. Goons is one of the largest, if not the largest, alliance in EVE, so the largest player-organized corporation alliance group in the game of EVE. It's players that take from another forum. It's called somethingawful.com. It's a forum where people make Photoshop fun and phone ridiculousness and all sorts of stuff that you hear on popular radio these days. I'm not sure I completely agree with their humor, but they're a specific kind of people that know each other from outside of EVE through this forum. They form an alliance in EVE, and they're one of the biggest ones. The Mitanni's part of them. They have a lot of a big reputation for the past and the wars they do in the sovereign nullsec space. They do have a big website. I'll post a link to you. Give me a sec. They do have a good website. I posted a link to it here about what you should train a bit. They have a lot of on the websites for new players like myself and perhaps some of you as well to learn from. Yeah, thank you for the link to Goonswarm and Makuro. That's excellent. So I stole it, and it's probably dangerous because, well, Goon's big alliance, they might shoot me, but oh well, who cares? In this chart, if you look at it, page 4, there's a bit of a specified layout of ship progression. The top line, T1, is what you probably know. Frigates, the smallest class of ships, is what you get into first. Even if you do the career agents, the beginning, very beginning of the game, the tutorial that you do, you go to a T1 frigate, and at the end of the advanced military career agent, you get yourself a T1 destroyer for Kaldari. That's the Cormorant that you get. Another one of the destroyers that we fly is the Korax, the one that looks like a U-boat, you know, like a submarine. Pretty cool ship. From that, you go to cruisers, battleships, and capital ships. The progression. You can see that most of these cruisers are, or most of these progressions on T1, very versatile ships. You see the ones below, the T2 ones. You can see, for instance, for frigates, interceptor, assault ship, electronic attack frigate, covert operations, covert ops, and stealth bomber are ships with a specific role. And they've underlined in this chart the role, damage, tackling, or support. And that's important because the advanced Kaldari ships have this very specific role attached to them. It's really important to note these roles about them, not just for what you want to do with a certain ship, but also what you want to train for. For instance, if you enjoy flying the Carrico we discussed before, give me a sec. Then you might enjoy flying its T2 cousin. I'm linking it up right now, the Cerberus. The Cerberus is an advanced cruiser, a heavy assault ship. If you click the link in the class channel, it will open to the ship information window. If you click the prerequisites tab, you'll view with me the prerequisite skills you need to fly the Cerberus. On my current character, I would need 42 days to train to actually be able to fly the ship. Yeah, that's pretty long. It's a month and a half on it. So that's pretty long. The primary skill you need is Kaldari Cruisers level 5. Well, that's basically something we understand. If you fly a Carrico, you need Kaldari Cruisers 2, the skill. But below, there are stuff extra that you need. You need some support skills like engineering, mechanics, gunnery, weapon upgrades, but you also need the assault ships and even heavy assault ship skills. These skills are focused towards the role of the ship. Valka, you asked the question. Whenever people refer to hacks, they refer to heavy assault cruisers. That's correct. Armor hacks is a bit of a meme in the game. A hack is a heavy assault cruiser. So in the game, they refer to it as a heavy assault ship in the market window. But yeah, hack, heavy assault cruiser. So from this general overview of the ships, we'll start to go into more detail of the ships. The T1 ships we're going to leave behind for now. They're discussed in the 101 class. If you want to know anything about them, listen back to that class. Check out the link for the slideshow. If you don't have it, I can post it to you a little later on the 101 slideshow. T2 ships. We'll start with frigates. Linked in the class window, the Kaldari Navy Hookbill is a pirate frigate, or actually a Navy faction frigate. There is a difference between the advanced ships in saying that they're advanced, so T2 advanced ships, and faction ships. In the market window, you can see this distinction as well between advanced and faction. Faction usually means that the ships are easy to skill into. So if you check out the Kaldari Navy Hookbill, for instance, it's not a difficult ship to fly. You need Kaldari frigates level 3, Spaceship Command level 1. So as a starting Kaldari pilot or even a different race pilot, you can train into that really quickly and should be no problem for you to fly it. The Kaldari Navy Hookbill is an upgraded frigate. It's usually stronger than many of the other frigates. It has much more extra abilities to perform, hence the price. It's expensive. Normally, the Kaldari Navy Hookbill started its life as an LP award, a faction reward, which you could get if you did faction warfare or other missions like epic arcs for a specific race or for the Kaldari Navy, for instance. You could get LP and you could earn the right to buy a Hookbill. These days, they're sold heavily on the market, especially in the trade hubs. They're usually a little cheaper. I'm currently in derelict space, so I'm not close to a major trade hub here. A Kaldari Navy Hookbill would set me back about 50 million ISK. So that's a lot of more expensive than a standard frigate. Now, why would you fly one? The Kaldari Navy Hookbill has a lot of extra damage. Actually, it receives 100% extra damage to kinetic missiles and rocket damage, and 50% to other damage types at max skills, which means that if you're skilled up to fly with the right support skills, you can do a lot of more damage than, say, a Condor of the same type. And I mean a lot of damage. Adding to that, it has a pretty good tank ability, so you can make it an impressive little tank. Sure, expensive, but flown a lot. There's a lot of controversy about the Hookbill. Some people love it, some people hate it. Actually, I know of a few FCs that we've had recently, what's his name, Mangala Solaris of RVB has this stated as one of his favorite ships in one of his posts. And yeah, it's a great little frigate. A lot of extra firepower there. So that's our Navy faction frigate. We also have a pirate ship. Fittingly called the Worm. The Worm is an upgraded Merlin. It has the Merlin hull, as you can tell, but it's a little better than that. It's also not too difficult to train into, but it is a cross-trained ship. You need the Kaldari frigate skill to 3, but you also need the Galente frigate skill to 3. Now, as some of you may know, Eve has a backstory, and in that backstory, the Kaldari race was once part of the Galente Federation. They broke away, so they came from Galente roots, they broke away, and they made their own. So you can see quite some of these Kaldari Galente crossovers. One of my favorite ones, apart from the Worm, which I really like, is the Rattlesnake, but we'll get to that later, which is a beautiful Galente ship, which you need some Kaldari to cross-train. It actually looks like a scorpion with this most beautiful camouflage. Somebody can link up the Rattlesnake, I would be a very happy man. The Worm, the interesting Merlin combined Galente fleet ship. What's so interesting about it? It fits drones. For every level in the Galente frigate skill, you get a 5 cubic meter drone bay capacity bonus. So you can actually fit a lot more drones. The Kaldari are not known for their drone skills, so pretty tough, but still, it's really good. Otherwise, it's a missile ship, and most Merlins are hybrid turrets. So it's pretty cool to have a missile ship fit Merlin. It gives you a velocity bonus to rockets and missiles, so that's basically a range bonus together with drones. So yeah, you could make it a really interesting light missile ship, long range, shield resist bonus from the Merlin, get your drones for finding things up close. There's a lot of options to use the Worm. It's a pretty nice ship. Oh, thanks, Victoria, for linking the rattlesnake. Everybody, click that rattlesnake link with me. Blow up that picture of it in the 3D window and just look at how amazing this looks. I love it. The rattlesnake, in my opinion, is one of the best PvE ships out there. It's amazing. Cool. All right. Beautiful ship there, indeed. On with the frigates. So we've had our easy to train into frigates, the faction frigates, which you could buy right now. As long as you have the ISK, you can pretty much fly them right off the bat. The advanced frigates are more difficult. There are four different kinds. Four, I was right. The assault ships, the covert ops ships, the electronic attack frigates, and the interceptors. Now, starting with the assault ships, there are two color assault ships, the Harpy and the Hawk. Yep, Merlin Halls, both of them. The Harpy is a hybrid turret ship, lots of shield resistance, and a large optimal range and damage bonus. The normal Merlin already has this shield resist bonus, but the assault ship skill, the skill that you really need to fly this kind of ship, otherwise you can't fly it, adds even more optimal range and damage bonus. So a really good long range ship. A very nice one too. You can see Harpies quite often. I meet a lot of them in low sec, 1v1 players, pirates seeking out targets. The range bonus allows it also to fit blasters instead of ruins. So blasters are the short range high DPS weapons of the hybrid turret. If you fit those on a Harpy with the range bonus, you could still easily sit at about 15 kilometers from a target and give some formidable firepower if it's still being out of range of their short range weapons, which is really nice. It's not the fastest of ships, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It has in the description, they talk about it as a little MOA. It has almost got the firepower of a cruiser type ship, which is fairly true, especially with the range, but it's a little more fragile in my opinion. You have the resist bonus, but yeah, it's pretty hard to stay away from enemies because you're not very fast. The Hawk is again a missile variant of the Merlin. Beautiful ship, especially fit with missiles, and I do love my missiles. I see the Hawk very often in the PvP settings, low sec, but also in high sec, you know, war targets fly Hawks fairly often. It's pretty decent ship. You can fit a nice Hawk with rockets, T2 rocket launchers, a micro warp drive, and a shield booster, and you can do a lot of nasties with this. So a very nice ship. Velke Murakumo asks, what needs to be considered when you decide between flying a T2 ship and a Navy ship, skill requirements aside? Is it just for the benefit they provide? Well, Navy ships are a little less role specific than the T2 advanced ships, but yeah, the most important thing I would say is choose in which situation you want to fly it. Are you going through the level 4 missions? Navy Raven, beautiful ship, very, very expensive, but even much better than the normal Raven, which is already a great level 4 mission ship. You want to fly the fastest of the fastest of the fastest ship in EVE, and just zoom around your opponents or even blast through lower level missions real quick, then perhaps you should try one of the interceptor class ships. Very specifically, a normal frigate with a micro warp drive can make you go, 2,000 meters per second. A good interceptor can easily make you go 12 kilometers per second, moving so fast. But the ship will only be good in that role. An interceptor is a tackling ship. So basically for fleets or for small gang work, you are supposed to be the guy to tackle. So if you want to do some shooting, might not be the best ship for you. So yeah, it's very role specific, whereas the Navy ships are just usually a much better version of the ship you get for those with enough ISKs to spend on it. Again, check out what you want to do with a certain ship. The ship is a tool, and you can use the tool for whatever job you want it to do, but make sure that you get the right tool for the job. All right, from our assault ships, we'll quickly shoot over to covert ops. Cloaky ships. Perhaps you know something about cloaky ships. There are in this game some different cloakable ships. I'll link the two Kaldar ships here. The Buzzard and the Manticore, both cloak ships. Now, using the cloaking skill and the prototype cloaking module, or the one-up module of that, there are three different kinds of cloaking modules. You could cloak any ship, but at a very large reduction in your speed and in a delay of targeting after decloaking. So cloaking a ship could be good for a scout, but cloaking your average frigate or cruiser type ship has a lot of disadvantages, which makes it really difficult to use the cloak. Covert op ships, especially if you'd open, for instance, the Manticore, and click the blue eye, you can see that it has covert ops skill bonuses and roll bonuses. These bonuses reduce the negative effects of a cloak. So you can fit the largest cloak possible, the covert ops cloak, which normally is almost impossible to fit to a ship because it has a huge CPU charge and very much negative power grid as well, but also a targeting delay after decloaking and such like that. You would need a covert op ship to fit that. So you can use this, for instance, the Manticore, which is a stealth bomber, fit a covert ops cloak, and have yourself just that, a stealth bomber. You can warp cloak, drop in, decloak, shoot your enemies, cloak up, and be gone, which is really cool. People use this in bombing runs with smart bombs, which is really devastating stuff. And you can read a lot about that, and there's even some YouTube movies about that, which are pretty amazing stuff right there. So, yeah, have a read into this full class of ship. The Manticore has a bit of a Kestrel hull. Slightly different, though. Just take a look at it if you'd like. It's really a unique design. One of the few T2 Kaldar ships that has a unique design. Most of them are just redos. Pretty good ship. I hear a lot about people flying bomber wings. Bomber wings are usually seven ships fitted out in a small fleet or a small wing with just seven of them, because the techniques of bombing, if you detonate a bomb, it will do damage of one certain type, for instance, EM or explosive damage. And if you detonate more than seven bombs in the same area, the damage done to the bombs itself will make all the other bombs destroy as well. So they're usually just fleets of seven. Amazing class of ship. There's actually a stealth bomber wing in EUni. Check it out. It's on the forums. And see if you can talk to them people about getting yourself some good info. Unibombers. That's the one. Are you part of it, Makuro? Getting there, huh? Yeah, it's a long train time for covert ops, but it's good fun. The Buzzard, the first ship, is a scouting probing ship. You know the hull. It's the... did I lose my word? What's it called? Not the Kitsune, that's a T2 ship. The Buzzard hull. Come on, guys, help me out. What's the hull called? The T1 hull.
It's a Heron.
Go again? The Heron, yeah, thank you very much. It's a Heron hull. The Heron is a scouty proby ship. I used it mostly in the beginning of my EVE career to probe out sites, or probe out even a black holes or wormholes to open them up. The Buzzard is a cloaky ship just like that. I've not seen it used actually ever because it's not a very good combat ship, and I like to fight. Then again, you can deploy sinusoidal fields with it, which can make it an interesting ship for NullSec corporations. A sinusoidal field, or a sino, is something that people use to warp into any point in space. It's a module that you can carry in your ship and drop it in space in NullSec or LowSec, and people can jump into that location without needing jump bridges. It's also the only way of transporting capital ships, or especially Titans, because they can't fit into a jump gate. So we use gates capital ships don't. They have to use sinos or jump points themselves. Otherwise, they can't go anywhere. No, good point, Lycosti Mienta. There is a good fast transport with that bay. It's not a bad idea, actually. I didn't think about it. Good point. And if you then use the buzzard, you can actually cloak, so it will be even safer. The Kitsune is the electronic attack frigate of the Kaldari, which means it's an ECM ship. Kaldari Ewar is ECM. Oh, just reading the chat. Yeah, well, true. Kitsune is a Griffin class ship. The Griffin is already an ECM Ewar ship. And the thing that the Kitsune does is basically just that job a lot better. It will get you an ECM range bonus of 12.5% per level of the electronic attack ship bonus. And you can get much more cap in your Kitsune. So that's a pretty decent ship for that role. I'm not much of an Ewar pilot myself. I've seen Kitsunes as part of fleets, and they frustrate the heck out of people. So if you fly one of those, make sure that you have your friends with you, because people will not like you for it, that's for sure. Now on to more T2 frigates, and some of my favorites, the Interceptors. Raptor and Crow. Interceptors, as I said before, the fastest level of ships. They're basically the tackling ships. Their role, strictly as is, tackle out of ships. Keep a ship on the battlefield so that others can pound it down and destroy it. Interceptors are actually viable as solo from time to time. And there are basically two classes of interceptors. I'm pretty sure that... Let me check for you. No, it no longer says, but in the past, the role of interceptors used to be field interceptors or fleet interceptors. They've taken that away from the market window now. The Crow is more considered a field interceptor because it can do a lot of damage on its own and has a range bonus to its missiles and a damage bonus. The Raptor, let me check for you, has a bit less of that. It has a hybrid turret damage bonus and optimal bonus, but somehow it was more used in a fleet role to support other ships. It gives you bonuses, scram and disruptor range. So yeah, again, these propulsion jamming systems. If you fly an interceptor, you'll be flying some of the fastest type of ships, and you'll be focused on what they call long point in fleets. You know that most of us beginning pilots in the uni, if we join fleets, people tell us a tackling frigate, because that's always very handy. If you make a specialty out of it, you can fly an interceptor. So long skill train, but they're some of the fastest ships in EVE. Pretty exciting, and any fleet will love to have you as a tackler on board. You could also fill the role as a scout, because you can get in and out of situations really quickly, and they are some of the reason that people sometimes talk about a speed tank. We've talked a bit about shield tank or armor tank in the past, but an interceptor actually has the option of doing a speed tank, going so fast with such a high velocity and transversal that guns or even missiles won't be able to hit you because you're just too fast. Which is exciting, but takes a lot of player skill to fly, skills I'm surely I don't have. But if you want to know a little more about it, let me see. I'm afraid, I'm not sure if I have it here, the Interceptor article. I've got an EVE Ultras article about T2 frigates. I'll link that up for you. Afraid it doesn't go into depth on these really fast ships. Otherwise, a very good advice I can give you is find the forums, the EUni forums, check out the recorded classes, and find the recorded class on Interceptors 101. It's a great class. Listen to it, and you'll learn much about these ships. They're amazing. Damage output, not so much. Speed, oh yeah. And very good at tackling. So fleet people will love you for it. All right, that leaves us up to the cruisers. Oh no, first, sorry, Ardesi, a T2 destroyer. We actually have one T2 destroyer. You know the Cormorant we talked about before and the Korax. Cormorant is a hybrid turret destroyer, one that you get after starting career in EVE. And the Korax is our first missile or rocket destroyer. The T2 one is the Flycatcher. Yeah, go ahead. No, oh, just keying up, no problem. The Flycatcher is an interdictor. Interdictors are on that little table I showed you before, the step after interceptors. An interdictor is a ship that's used for tackle, keeping other ships on the battlefield. Flycatcher is a fairly fast ship, and even due to its speed can hit its target because it's a Cormorant with missiles, which is pretty good if you're not that highly skilled into the hybrid turrets. What is an interdictor? An interdictor can fit a module in it for which it can drop a bubble. I'm not sure if everybody knows what a bubble is, but a bubble is basically a big sphere in space which insta-points every ship within it under normal circumstances. So you can't warp out. You can move in the bubble, but you can't warp out of it. The Flycatcher can drop one of these. It's a high skill train for an interdictor, but they're very much used ships, especially in NullSec, where these bubbles operate. If you've ever been into a fleet in NullSec or one of Gareth Corellian's suicidal drunken Rome fleets, you've often run into these bubbles. I've done so myself and lost a few ships there because you can't warp out and people start bombing you or doing nasty stuff. The Flycatcher, next to its bubbling role on itself, is a pretty popular ship fitting a double webs, so two stasis webifiers, and can actually be a really nasty ship to hold down frigates or other ships with that, making sure people can't move, can't warp out, and just shoot them down because of its damage doing capabilities. In a sense, it's a nasty ship too. I must say that the Cormorant is the Cormorant Hull. If you take a look at the Flycatcher, is one of the least attractive Kaldari ones in my opinion. It's still nice, just a little less cool in my opinion. Okay, that was the destroyer. On to the cruisers. We'll start with faction cruisers, and I'll link you a little article. Yeah, you may think it's the best looking, but that's not me. So, as Kaldari, we have a pirate cruiser. I just linked the article which talks about that. It's called the Gila. The Gila is a MOA hull as a pirate cruiser. So the skill train is not extreme. You can get into it a little faster. You need the Galente cruiser skill. It's a Galente cross, same as with the ship we talked about before. Oh, my memory is failing me. As the Worm, yeah. There we go. Gila has a shield resist bonus for its Kaldari and a drone to hit and damage bonus for Galente's skill level. It's a missile boat, so a MOA with missiles and pretty good at drones. It's an awesome ship. I see it around a lot. Many people seem to fly it, mostly against me. It's a bit of an expensive ship, but yeah, with a 400 cubic meter drone bay, 125 Mbit per second, you can fit at least two big flights of drones in there and do a lot of damage while whaling away with your missiles. A very effective cruiser. Sadly, it's expensive. It's very expensive. Some go for about 250 to 300 million ISK per piece. So yeah, easy to train, expensive to fly. Navy ships. We have the Caracal Navy issue and the Osprey. All right. Let me see. Give me just a short second, folks. All right. The Osprey Navy issue is a missile boat. It's actually pretty interesting because the Osprey is not an attack ship as we use it in the normal cruiser hull, but more of an logistics ship. The Navy issue one has a lot more of attack hitting power. It's a really fast Kaldari cruiser. They say it's the fastest Kaldari cruiser on the field. So speed is a big issue here. You can fit your assault launchers, heavy missile launchers, or even light missiles, rapid light missile launchers to it. You get a big range bonus, velocity bonus, and a rate of fire bonus. So you'll be shooting fast, going really quick through space. Fairly popular. I've seen it around a couple of times. 75 million ISK. Not too cheap, not too expensive, good for missions. The Caracal Navy issue is basically one step up or down from the Cerberus we spoke about a little before. You get more of a missile bonus on damage. You get a 6 high slots for 6 launcher points, your 5 mids and 4 lows. Easier to fit, more all-round ship. Easy to get into, a little more expensive. The Caracal Navy issue is one of the few ships that if you're skilled properly, you can probably do a lot of level 3 missions on, so it can earn itself back fairly quickly, which is something people like. I have not seen them around in PvP arenas much, probably because of the cost effectiveness. I'm not too sure, but definitely give it a look if you like flying the Caracal or you like doing missions. It's a little safer than shooting up to that Drake right quick. Because Drake's emissions, people, especially warp targets, try to hunt you down often. The advanced cruisers are divided into 5 categories. We have our heavy assault ships, heavy interdictors, logistics, recon ships, and strategic cruisers. The Kaldari heavy assault ships are the Cerberus we talked about before, and the Eagle. Let me link them up for you again, so you can just have a little look. Alrighty, the Cerberus we spoke about before, it's a Caracal hull, heavy attack ship, so a lot more damage and a lot faster launching time, a heavy hitting missile ship. The Eagle is a MOA class ship, so it looks just like the MOA. It keeps the hybrid turret, so it doesn't change it up to missiles, and it's very effective with an extra range bonus. I hear a lot of people flying a Beagle or a Bleagle, a Blaster Eagle, which means that you fit your short-range weapons for a huge DPS, but with the optimal range and the right skills you get, you can really have a very interesting long-range hitting heavy damage monster. The Eagle is a very, very popular ship to fly in gangs or in fleets as a damage dealer ship, and it's one of the ships I'm looking forward to getting into because it's completely awesome to fly. The skill training is a bit long, we talked about before, same with the Cerberus. For my character, I know we talked about this before, it takes about 42 days as a Curian to train into it. I hope some of you are closer to it. You need high skills like Engineering and Mechanics 5, Spaceship Command 5, and Kaldari Cruiser to level 5 to be able to fit into it and then train these assault and heavy assault ship skills. So yeah, a long train. But in case of the Beagle or Eagle and the Cerberus, definitely worth it for damage dealing ships. They're awesome, awesome ships. So have a look into those. I can highly recommend them to you. They are really great ships to look at. Heavy interdictors. We have only one. A heavy interdictor is just like we spoke of with the light interdictor. It can light a bubble. The normal interdictor class, the destroyer hull we looked at before, the flycatcher, drops a bubble where it left. And if it flies on, it can fly out of its own bubble. The Onyx, the heavy interdictor, carries a bubble inside. So the center of the sphere in which you can't warp out of is the actual ship. So anywhere the ship goes, you have an instant bubble. Nobody can warp out. So you set up your gang anywhere in space that you like, and you hunt down targets that fly by. You can draw them out of warp if they warp by you, set them off at a gate or a station, and you're pretty much the big cheese, because people will drop out and you can get lots and lots of fights. So a popular little ship, the Onyx. It's a nice looking one too. We have a T2 Logi ship for the people that love to fly Logi. Blackbirds are their normal T1 cruiser hull that we use for this. The Basilisk is a very nice logistics ship that we can get. into as Kaldari pilots. It's probably the best shield reinforcing, so the shield logi in the game. It's used very oftenly. One of the great uses that it has, especially in NullSec alliances, or even in ISEC sometimes, is that it can reinforce the shields of a POS. POS is a player-owned space station, and the Basilisk is one of the best and only two non-capital ships that can reinforce the shields of a POS. So it's a logistics ship which helps you pump the shields of other players. That's really good. Some people use it in a gang for PvE, level 4 missions, or even incursions to support a Raven. I've known a guy in EVE who flies a Navy Raven for doing missions and making lots of iskies, and he has an alt character trained up for a Basilisk, and they fly side by side and do missions even faster because the damage to his Raven will just not get through because of the shield logic that he's getting. Pretty cool. If you want to fly one in PvP, think about it and get friends. You really need them. Because your ship will mostly be primaried in a fleet situation, because they know that if you're down, then they can easier down your buddies in the other ships. Okay, recon ships, next cruiser hulls. We have the Rook and the Falcon. Tell you the truth, guys, I don't know too much about the Rook. It's a recon ship that has good ECM. It can fit missiles, has a good bonus to missiles. Actually, its target jammer strength, plus 30%, makes it the most excellent ECM ship out there. But the Falcon somehow has this huge, huge rep. People fear the Falcon. They fear it seriously. It can pack a cloaking device. Once uncloaked, it can deploy ECM jammers out there with great speed and huge, huge range, and just knock out ships out of a fight. So a part of a fleet or a small gang, it's enormous what the ship can do. Of course, this is really terrible because everyone out there trying to fight you or your gang or your fleet will target you first. People don't like Falcons. They really don't like you. So if you're in a solo or small gang situation, just run away. I think the Falcon is probably a pretty much PvP-based ship. I've not seen many PvE uses for it, but yeah, it's feared out there. People dread the Falcon. But then again, outside of the Uni, I mean, the Uni, we use a lot of ECM ships, lots of Blackbirds in some of our fleets. Outside of the Uni, it's much less done. Some of the, like RVB, one of the largest high-sec PvP corporations, even outlaws ECM ships, so outlaws the Kaldari e-warships in most situations. Because it frustrates other players. They don't like to fly against it. Okay, guys, something interesting. Strategic cruisers, the fifth cruiser type for our T2 advanced ships, is actually not T2, but something they call T3, and it's the Tengu. And just allow me to link that again for reference. The Tengu is an amazing ship. The Tengu is a T3 strategic cruiser, and as such, you can change parts of its hull. What does this mean? I'm not going to go into extreme detail, but the Tengu is one of those ships that allows you to fit different modules and thus take a different look. If you open the picture of the Tengu in your market window, you get a listy of all the systems you can fit: offensive, propulsion, electronics, defensive systems, and every system you fit, the Tengu will look differently and have a different role. This ship is multi-purpose. It can do a lot of the stuff that you'd like to do with it, and it's a great, great ship. It's often used for missions and incursions, in which it's perfect. It flies through those quite quickly, and even in PvP, it's often used. So it's a very versatile ship, and it's a beautiful, beautiful looking ship. It's really expensive, though. Just buying a Tengu, depends on how you fit it up, can easily cost you 250 million iskies, and I've seen some Tengu fits, rigged and all, going for 1 or 2 billion isk. It takes a huge amount of skill to train into. Let me take a look for you. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not that far from it. It would take me 23 days of current to train into it. But it has some disadvantages apart from the huge amount of ISK you need for it. If you lose your Tengu, so you're killed and you end up in your pond, you lose skills. There are support skills you need to fly the Tengu. Let me see what they are exactly. Like Electronics 5, Engineering 5, Mechanics 3, Shield Operation 5. Or the subsystem skills. Yeah, you're quite right. You'll lose one of your subsystem skills. So it depends on how you fit it. You'll lose skills. Actually, I'm not the complete expert on strategic cruisers. I love the Tengu, though. It's a great, great ship. If you want to know more about it, there's a great class recording on the forum about strategic cruisers. I took the class myself as well with one of the most amazing teachers that we have running around in the uni, and he explained it really well. Check it out, because the Tengu is a great ship to train for and maybe to make a career out of flying. It's amazing. It can do a lot of stuff. As I said, mission-wise, PvE-wise, it's absolutely beyond compare. It even... by some, or by many, considered much better than the T2 battleships out there for missions. So really a great thing. But yeah, also in PvP, many people use it as a chase ship. So you fly into a bigger gang, you start to fly away, and you shoot them down where they can't come close to you, stuff like that. Very versatile. You could do a lot of different things with it. Not a ship with just one role, but it can probably fit many of the different roles. So check that out. Very, very interesting ship. All right. I'm not boring you guys, am I? I don't see many questions. You don't have to ask questions, but just let me know that I'm not boring you. It'll be fine. We would definitely lose subsistence skills by being potted despite having updated clones. Yes, Valkyrie, Marukumo. No matter what your clone, you will definitely lose them, I think. No, you don't need to be potted. You just need to lose your ship. Oh, thank you, Doug. Yeah, but flying a Tengu might just be worth it. Just look at what it can do. It's a pretty amazing ship to fly, really. It's out there by far. Okay, guys, battle cruisers. We have two T2 battle cruisers. Ejecting won't work if you are already taking much damage, if your ship will be destroyed afterwards. I'm not sure what they did to it, but no, you'll just lose skills and you'll be damned. The Nighthawk and the Vulture are two battlecruiser T2 ships. No faction battlecruiser ships right now for Kaldari, so no luck there. They're both Ferox hulls. The Nighthawk is a missile boat, dedicated missile boat, which is especially good flying against smaller targets, so flying against frigates or even cruisers. It has a huge tank. Both the Tech2 ships, battlecruiser ships, are command ships, which means that they're built to last in fleets. The Nighthawk is a ship that can actually do a pretty good 1v1, so it's pretty good as a solo ship or a small gang ship, but better as a command ship in the field. The Vulture, the second one, is a fleet ship all the way around. It gives huge bonuses for long-range battleships, so you can have your ROC gang, you know, the long-range hybrid turret gang, fitted with real guns, fly your Vulture in there, and you can really do a lot of damage. You can see these command ships fitted with command modules to give other ships bonuses. So your job on the battlefield is not to win or kills for yourself, but to make others fight much better than you can. And as that, they are perfect ships. I don't have much experience with them. I see Vultures around fairly frequently in these long-range gangs. So pretty nasty, Naga gangs, for instance, or even rock gangs, battleship gangs, pretty nasty stuff. Expensive ships, 100 million ISKs easily. So mostly fleet gangs, large alliances field them, difficult. All right, bringing us to battleships. So, pirate faction battleships, we have the Rattlesnake, linked it before. I'm going to link it again, because it's beautiful. Very good level mission, level 4 incursion missile ship. Check it out, it's beautiful. Just look at it again. Navy issue ships, the Navy Raven and the Navy Scorpion. The Scorpion is an ECM ship normally. It gets primaried in every fleet because people don't like ECM. The Navy issue is much more of a battleship to do with offensive firepower. So sure, it abandons the E-War a bit. You can fly a major tank on it and make a pretty good offensive ship out of it. Interesting, if expensive. Not difficult to train into, so this is good. But you don't see many of them flying around. Much different than the Raven Navy issue. It's like a Raven, but better, bigger, pardon me, and more. Gives you a rate of fire and velocity bonus, a pretty big bonus to range. It's a bigger Raven. That's basically what there is to say. If you want to fly missions and you're serious about it, the Raven Navy issue is a bigger, better version of what you get. Be careful though. People make a sport out of shooting them down. So finding you in mission sites and shooting you down in a gang is a sport for some people. Be careful, be smart. Think of your alignment, think of your warp outs, think of having an alt there to do something for you to help you out, or flying in a small spider fleet, for instance, with other unistas to make your time safer, because people will find you and they'll try to kill you. The advanced battleships come in two tiers, Black Ops and Marauders. The Widow is the Black Ops Kaldari ship. Black Ops means that they got cloak. They can come in when you don't expect them and they'll shoot you down. It's a ship mostly used in NullSec, mostly used for a thing that they call AWOXing. AWOXing is a type of is it scamming? I'm not sure. Is it spying? Pretty much. People will put a pilot into an alliance or a corporation with the ship. They'll fly a fleet somewhere, and that pilot will turn out to be a spy. Call in the Black Ops gang, and they'll fly these nasty little Black Ops ships towards you out of cloak and destroy your fleet, or just pick off targets of opportunity and make you have a really bad time. The Golem is a Marauder, an advanced battleship. It has a big bonus to target painters, which is pretty unusual. I'm not sure if everybody here has ever flown with target painters. I tend to use them sometimes on frigates or cruisers that fit missiles to get me more damage and longer range and easier to hit such things. The Golem has a huge bonus to it. I've heard a lot of people talk about how the Golem is a good ship to fly your missions with. And some people say it's hard to find better than the Golem for missioning. Personally, I say Tengu, Tengu, Tengu. Yeah, thanks, Icon. Thank you for being here. We're almost wrapping up, so but thanks. So I'm not sure if I like the Golem that much. It's a Raven Hull. It's a pretty ship. You have 3 utility high slots that don't fit you any weapons. Yeah, it does have huge bonuses, but you have to really look at what your Tengu can do for you and how you can change up on it. It has something to do with speed. The Golem, it's not very fast. It has huge tank, shield resist, so it's a very good ship to do your missions with. You can just keep on going and do them, maybe spare some time there because you don't have that speed. I don't know. I don't have experience with it myself. I say to people, try it out. But for 1 billion ISK ship, yeah, that's just a lot of ship. It would take me still 70 days to train into it if I start now. I'm not sure. If you have any other experiences with the Golem, please just let me know. Type up in class or take over Mumble. Well, you're a Galente. You definitely don't want to train into a Golem. Get yourself a Rattlesnake, man. Yeah, Amakis, you're very right. It has the huge missile types, the larger weapon types, which makes it really difficult to hit frigates or cruisers. So it will be really difficult in the missions where you often fight a bunch of cruiser hulls and a few bigger ships. Those small ships will just be impossible to destroy, where a Drake or a Tengu can just fit a little bit of a smaller weapon and get the job done for missions easier. Very good point, Amakis. Thank you. All right, guys, that brings me over to the last part of the class, which is pretty much cap ships. Again, I said in the beginning, I don't know too much about it, but I'll link you the Kaldari ships up, and we can have a look at it. The first capital ship class is the carrier class. There are two Kaldari carriers, the Chimera and the Wyvern. The Chimera has a bit of a bad rep as carriers go. The Wyvern, I'm not sure about much of its reputation, but I think as a carrier goes, it's much more upped. What are carriers used for in the game? Carriers are fleet ships. You can only do them in null or low sec. There are no high sec capital ships. They don't warp through gates. They use these sino-sural feeds, the sinos, so you need to have another ship scout out for you. You can jump somewhere, and then combat can start. Carriers don't do much damage themselves. They usually make other ships fight better. They have something called a triage mod, so you can set them to triage mode. It takes you 5 minutes to get the mod to run. In that time, the ship is can't be repped and is really vulnerable, but then again, they fit huge tanks, these ships. They won't easily down. If it survives the 5 minutes, then it has repping for all ships in the vicinity. Which is great. It has huge drone base, fighter bomber drone base, so lots of small drones doing a lot of the killing. They're awesome to have in battlefields for larger fleets, and there are entire classes devoted to this. If you can, check out the recorded class by Shadu, the guy from Pandemic Legion, one of their main FCs, who talks about carriers a lot. Repping, repairing. Remote repping or logistics is someone who can remotely repair your armor or your shield. That's what repping is. So repairing armor or shield, shield boosting or armor repairing. People call it repping. So those are the carriers. Carriers are not damage dealers themselves very much, even though they do have these drones, these huge amounts of drones. Dreadnoughts, however, are. Kaldari have the Phoenix Dreadnought. Nice looking ship, very large. And where carriers have a triage module, the Phoenix has a siege module, a module that will greatly increase the damage that it does and that it allows other ships surrounding it and closing it in fleet to do. So that's a damage dealer. Many people have told me that a Phoenix can, well, blow up any other ship, any other subcapital, so battleship or smaller, with basically one volley. So that's huge. I think these are really interesting ships to start to fly. It takes a huge time to train into them. And then I'm not even sure if you can just fly them, because how can you practice and you can't just set one up? For any of you carrier or dreadnought pilots, if you really look into training them, check out a few of the sites that are about carrier training. There are a couple of them out there. I don't have any linked right here. Make a skill plan, train up to it. It will take you 2-3 months, and then go to the test server. EVE has a test server. You can get into it. It's on the EVE Online website. Check it out. Everything in that test server costs 100 ISK. So you can buy yourself a Dreadnought or Carrier and check it out, as long as your character has the skills to do it. So make sure that you can and try out there if you'd like for free or almost free. That leaves us with Titans. The Leviathan is the Kaldari Titan. Titans are the biggest of the biggest player-owned ship. It takes you about half a year, 150 days to train into a Titan. That's an absolutely huge training time. That's the stuff we read about. That's the stuff you read about. The Battle of Asakai, something about a Titan, a guy who flies a Titan, warped into somewhere wrong, and he got destroyed. Huge alliances have these things, and they shoot around with people. It's terrible. The Leviathan can fit what's called an Oblivion super weapon, which is a one-hit, one-kill weapon. It can destroy everything it hits at into the game. It can destroy, I think, even Dreadnoughts in one shot. I'm not quite sure. Takes a long time to reload, though, so they can do it a couple of times. Leviathans can jump other ships out, and Leviathans, together with normal carriers, can allow you to refit your ship in space as long as you're close enough to them. They have a bay for it. Let me see. What's that name again? I don't actually remember. Titans also hold clone vat bays and jump portal generators, so they can jump anywhere they like. Of course, it might be dangerous, but they can make their own jump points and jump away for a couple of systems. They also have a clone bay. So now we have our clean clones stored in a station. But if you're a part of a large corporation, you can keep your clones in a Titan. It's basically a portable station with amazing weapons. So yeah, it's when I learned about these ships, and I'm still learning a lot about these Titan-type ships, the Game of Eve just grows so much bigger than what we can comprehend. It's huge. Many people will tell stories about how the Kaldari capital ships aren't the greatest capital ships in the game, but honestly, flying a couple of these around in a gang would be amazing, don't you think? So far, I think that the Uni doesn't have much. They're working on a capital program, I think, again. I don't know much about it yet, but it's stuff that's being worked on. If you want to get into capitals, you have to join the larger non-sec alliances, have a couple or even a lot. Pandemic Legion is one of the most famous for having a lot of capitals. See about joining them, but they'll obviously want to know you a lot better, and you have to be an experienced player to get to the level where you can fly capitals or sub-capitals. All right. Just before we close off the class, is there anyone interested in the T2 jump freighter, the Rhea? Cool. One of the T2 ships of the Qatari is the Qatari jump freighter, the Rhea. It's a really big ship. It has the Charon hull. The Charon is the T2 one. So the one you can more easily get into. The Charon has it's basically a capital ship. As a jump freighter, it's huge. It can make its own jump points. It has a jump drive, so it can easily put you out there. It takes a lot of skills to get into. It would take me about 85 days. So that's pretty awesome. Fun thing, it has a Kaldari freighter skill bonus to cargo hold. But as a jump freighter, skill also gives you a big bonus to shield, armor, and hull hit points, makes you new a little safer. This is the stuff that the Red Frog and Blue Frog and Black Frog guys use often, the jump freighters. They're awesome ships. Of course, you have to be really careful. They can jump themselves in and out of systems, so it's safe, but they need a small fleet to help them out. Scouts, at the very least, to make it safe so that they don't... Oh, really, cartilage? I didn't know about that. Red and blue only use regular freighters, only Black Frog. Okay, I didn't know. Thanks, man. I only do business with the frogs. Yeah, you're pretty much right. Too expensive. Very true. Yeah, Black Frog do low sec, and I think even null sec hauling. Red Frog does high sec, and blue are, I think, the really speedy transport guys. Okay, just NPC NullSec. They don't go into SOV. Nah, too dangerous, probably. Yeah, I can guess most of the larger alliances have their own transport wing. And even some of the smaller ones. A lot of people have alts to haul in stuff. As you might know, it's much more difficult to get your hold of ships when you're in low sec or even in null sec, because you're usually far away from transport or trade hubs like Yita or Heck or Rens. they're quite far away. All right, I think we've gone over most of our T2 Kaldari ships. I have got a few more links for you. Just give me a second, I'll put them up. Just some links. The first one is about Kaldari ship progression on Eve New Guy website. It's fairly interesting. It's a fellow countryman of mine who made the site, and there's some interesting stuff there. Last one is about it's from Eve Altruis, so Azure Skull of the Tuskers has lots of cool articles about Know Your Enemy. He usually does just the T1 variants. I posted earlier the T2 frigate ones about the attack frigates. And here's one about the faction frigs, so the pirate and navy frigs. Maybe you'd like to check that out. Are there any questions? Feel free to wake up. I've rambled on for an hour 15. Okay, if there are no more questions, then let me end by thanking you very much for joining my class, Kaldari Ships 102. We'll get the recording in later, I'm sure. Thank you, Falcon Murakumo, for making it. We have a question here by Victoria Carter. Do you know anything about the proposed Kaldari changes for Odyssey? I know very little about them, actually, but let me take a look at my Odyssey cheat sheet. Give me a second. What I've heard so far about Odyssey is that they're doing their usual changes to ships. They're taking a look at the battleship. Changes I know are coming to the Rock, Scorpion, and the Raven. The Scorpion one I know a bit about. They've had a lot of feedback, and they're going to change one of its high slots for a low slot. So the Scorpion will be changed, one of the high slots for a low slot. The Raven is gaining a little bit on power grid and CPU, I can read here. And there's some stuff being done to the Rogue. Let me link you an article that has some more Odyssey information. So Victoria Carter, if you can check that out, then I'm sure it will answer a lot of your questions regarding. Thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me or PM me on the Eve forums. Thank you for joining. The eagle is definitely interesting, Le Fromage. I'm sure I'll get into it too. One more thing, if you'd like, after class, if you like the class, you have any notes to make, apart from sending me an email or a forum PM, you can send me one ISK. Click on my character name and donate me one ISK, and you can type a short note in the chat window, and I'll see them in my wallet, and I'll enjoy the memory of having the class together. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy Eve, fly safe, and we'll see each other in space somewhere soon. Thank you.